everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I don't know if I ever realized how long that intro actually is.
Yeah, it's 45 seconds.
Do you think people listen to it?
No, if it were me,
they just go through and
I'd
forward?
Hit skip 15 three times and just get to the beginning.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's what I do with Joe Rogan.
Oh, just do you really?
Skip twice and there you are.
I guess I probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
And then when the ads come on, you just skip through those. So
it won't let you. Well, it depends on what platform you're on.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen on Spotify.
Is what it is. Man, I feel a lot better than I did earlier today.
Yeah?
The sun hasn't been out for 7 fucking days.
I know.
Dude, I literally...
It's been like foggy-opalooza out here.
Yeah, foggy-opalooza. Yesterday and today, like all day today, I was depressed as shit.
Yeah?
Like I felt depressed. I was like, man, it's fucking sad and there's nothing really pushing me and there's weather sucks and I don't have anything I really have to do. And I was like, man, this sucks. Then I get over here and talk to you for a while, I have a beer and I feel a little better.
Yeah.
But man, I hate it. I hate this time of year every year.
It's
I just want the holidays to be over so I can get back to regular life.
Right.
It's like, just please be over.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, this kind of a no man's land between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
A lot
and
of,
it's amateur night tonight. So you going out for amateur night?
We are.
Amateur.
Yeah. We're going to, so we're recording this on New Year's Eve, if you haven't picked that up. And we're
going
to go do
a
live. They call it Quixotic. It's like a...
What the fuck is that?
It's like a Cirque du Soleil show, but like a risque version, like a burlesque kind of Cirque du Soleil show.
You've been going to a lot of weird stuff lately.
Yeah, well...
You're married to a crazy redhead.
Yeah,
I know.
She's redhead.
Yeah.
Let me ask... So they have a show until like 10, and then it's like a party until midnight.
Oh, nice.
If we even... I mean, we're old, so we might not stay till midnight.
Yeah. Did you come to that show... That me and Mark and Johnny played at Something Sideways down in Westport, and they had burlesque dancers at it?
No, but you'd heard about it. You talked about it.
Dude.
Girls dancing in cages and...
Well, they weren't in cages.
On rings or something.
What they did is, so every girl would pick a song from who's ever set. So there were three girls, and there were three or four bands playing there. I can't remember. And they said, send us your songs that you're going to play. Covers, originals, whatever. And then each girl would pick a song. So during our set, all three girls danced, but on their own, to a specific song that we had sent them.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought it was going to be, like, you know, exotic dancing, this and that. No, dude, it was old school burlesque. I mean, no top on. What do they call the things that just suction
the pasties.
On? Pasties on there with, like, tassels.
Tassels, yeah.
Just swing. One girl was over the weight limit.
Yeah.
Like, she was, I don't know
what the weight limit is, but it was obvious.
She was, you know, it was weird because she was she was sexy as hell, though. Like, she owned it.
Yeah.
But, man, them titties, like, they were doing a 14-inch circle. Like, they were huge. And then the tassel on top of it. I will say, it was one of the most packed, interesting shows I ever played.
Right.
It was good. Like, we were playing, we did, a cover song, and the girl that ran it was like smoking hot, and she's up there. Well, there's a long like guitar break in it, right? And I literally said into the mic like I'm playing, and I just looked at her and I said, hey, you know we're trying to fucking concentrate up here, and then went right back into playing my solo, and she just like turns around and gives me the fucking stink eye, you know? I was like, this is difficult.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break up here.
It's kind of hard to concentrate.
Yeah. Like, oh, fucking shaking your ass down there. It was a lot of fun, though. Those shows are fun.
The last time Danielle and I went to Vegas, so this would have been 2 years ago, we went to it was like a speakeasy walk around thing.
People are doing it in there?
No.
That's Iceland.
It was built in a warehouse, but it was like an oddity show. and they had all these different, it was like a maze through all of these different like mini rooms.
Okay.
And every room had like a little different oddity happening there.
Like when you say oddity, do you mean like a burlesque dancer or do you mean like a weird midget juggling or?
Yes, like all of that.
All of that kind of
stuff.
So
they had like a sword swallower. They had burlesque dancers. They had people juggling fire. It was like everything you would see in like a circus, Christmas, circus, carnival, like a circus, circus crew, carnival crew, and burlesque crew kind of all combined together.
Was it cool though?
Oh, it was really neat. So like the
entertaining and neat.
Yeah. Like, they had somebody balancing a whole bunch of wild shit on stuff. Like they put a sword on their chin and then started balancing a whole bunch of stuff on it. And like the sword kind of pierced into their chin a little bit because of the weight.
That's weird.
That same person then put the handle of the sword in their mouth and started balancing a whole bunch of stuff on the blade of the sword.
Really?
They had like contortionists that were doing weird stuff. Like it was just...
You're just elbowing Danielle like, hey.
Yeah.
Why can't... Hey, it's like everything's why can't you strange. Do that?
And then you had these drink tickets and there were like little bars throughout there and like your drink tickets got you one drink at each bar. Each bar had a different theme. Like, this is
cool.
A rum thing, this is a vodka thing, and so, like, you could get your
can
your
by
fill.
The time you leave, too.
Yeah, yeah, you're drunk by the time you leave, but it was, like, an entertaining way to drink is really what it was.
Yeah, and I will say this. Vegas has a lot of really cool, like, sidebar attractions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they still have it, but, like, in the summer, they have that frozen bar that's under the street. Like, you walk down a set of stairs, and there's, like, 8 bar stools, and they only serve frozen drinks, and then you walk out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just these weird little cool things.
Yep.
I don't know if I could live there, though.
No.
Like, I say I want to, but I don't.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't want to live
there.
Like,
day 4, I'm like, I got to get
the
fuck.
Dude, I'm tired by the end of day 1.
I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I got to leave now.
Yeah. Too distracting. Way too distracting.
I will say this. We're probably going to have another TW event there.
Yeah, this fall.
Yeah. I think we're going to go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Like, August 1st-ish.
Yep.
They make it so easy.
Yeah.
And everyone can be entertained with their time off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's something to do.
Something's within
constantly.
Walking distance or Uber distance or
yeah.
Tesla tunnel distance, whatever.
Tesla tunnel distance?
You haven't heard about the
Is
Tesla?
That in, I thought that was in Los Angeles and it was going to go to Vegas.
No, there's a Tesla tunnel in Vegas to get you from one side of the strip to the other and only Teslas can use it. And autopilot gets you.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the tunnel where you get in the train thing and it shoots you across the country in like 30 seconds. It's just a tunnel where you drive Tesla cars.
Yeah, it's a tunnel only for Teslas to get you from one side of the strip to the other.
Okay.
Like super fast.
Gotcha.
Like 10 minutes or something. I mean, like insanely quick to go from one side of the tunnel to the other.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Does it smell funny down there?
I don't know.
Never I think been. It's probably just for faggots, just, but whatever.
Just watched a show on it. So.
You've been watching a lot of TV lately, buddy.
I have. I've been trying to expand my... expand my creativity a little bit.
Creativity.
So, speaking of the event, we have...
Oh, our upcoming. Gotcha.
Yeah, we have an event coming up on March 1st in Kansas City. If you follow Trade Wins on Facebook, or if you go to winninginthetrades.com or tradewinsconsulting.com...
Yes.
You will see tickets available and all of that stuff.
Yeah, just click on events. It's the first one on the left on the events.
Yeah, if you're a TradeWinds member, you get discounted tickets or free tickets, depending on your membership level. For the public, they are $199 for tickets. And those ticket prices will go up as soon as we sell a certain number of tickets.
Yeah, I had someone message me the other day. They're like, dude, $199. And I was like, well, Roger Wakefield's going to be there. And it cost me $70 to feed each person there.
Yeah.
I have to pay like $70 for you to eat breakfast and lunch. And they were like, oh, okay. And then bought a ticket.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, it's cheap as fuck.
Yeah. We've got a total of 5 speakers that are going to speak. David's going to speak. I'm going to speak.
Yes.
And then we have 3 outside speakers coming in. One is a gentleman named Nick Stanton. He owns a company called Wet n Wild Pressure Washing. And he gets almost all of his business through social media content. And that is the theme of our event, is social media content on all forms. That's YouTube, that's video, that's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And so it's how to grow your business using that type of content. We've got a guy named Chris Zizzo that's coming to speak as well. He's built up a following of a couple million followers several times through his career. And he's used that following for a nutrition business and a fitness coaching business. And now he does a little bit of business coaching. And so he's going to talk about like how to build a following and what to do with a following once you have it. And then we have Roger Wakefield coming to speak. And he is going to be talking mainly about YouTube and how to leverage YouTube to grow your business. And ironically, that's what I'm talking about as well, is YouTube, because we do a fair amount on YouTube. So,
you know, I think content creation gets, I don't want to say bad rap, but when people think content, and I used to do this,
mm-hmm.
when I thought of content creation, I thought, I don't want to be an influencer and I'm not making YouTube videos constantly to get paid from YouTube.
Right.
But that's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about creating shorts and your own content to use on your own social media to drive business.
Yeah.
And keep you as in front of mind as you can in your community.
Yeah.
Without having to pay to have commercials shot and spending a whole bunch of money to have those commercials played.
Right.
It's more of, it's more on the along the lines of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and if it's good for the internet, it's good for your community typically. And so what I mean by that is if you have a piece of content, whether it's a post or a picture or a video or anything, that plays well across the internet, then it's also playing well in your community, and it's kind of keeping you in that spotlight, keeping you in the forefront of people's minds. Because
yeah.
a lot of our businesses aren't exactly the type of thing that somebody wakes up every day and, you know, nobody wakes up and is like, man, I just hope I can see like a sweet furnace installation video on social media. Like, nobody wants that. And so you got to find a way to stay in front of them without
yeah.
cramming your product down their throat. So
yeah, and it is a challenge.
It's a huge challenge.
Like, I battle with it now.
Yeah.
Like, just for Tradewinds and The Void and all that, like, I come off, I think, at events and stuff, and like, I'm this like super outgoing person, and I'm just loving the limelight and this and that and blah, 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 and I'm energetic and I have a good personality and all this, and which I do, but only to people that I know and love.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time I want to look people in the face and tell them to fuck off.
Yeah, you're kind of like that old man from Up.
I am the old man from Up.
Curmudgeon-y old man yes. with a soft spot.
It's, so it's taken me, like, it's taken me 2 years to be like, okay, all right, I'm just going to listen to what the fuck Mitch says
right.
and the other guys in Tradewinds group, and I'm going to figure this stuff out. Like, we talk about in Tradewinds all the time, the best way to grow is by challenging yourself, right? Like, learning new things. And as you get older, like, it's hard to force yourself to do things.
Right.
Because you just literally are like, dude, I'm fine. I've made it. I'm here. I should be able to run with the standard and just be on the same financial curve that I've been on.
Right.
But it's just not that way.
Yeah.
The only way to challenge yourself is to force yourself to do new things. I said this in the post, I think it was 2 Mondays ago. Like, I had to physically learn how to run Adobe Premiere Pro software
mm-hmm.
so we could start editing videos, mm-hmm. which we'll get into that in a second.
Yep.
But it took me 3 fucking days. I hated my life for yeah. 3 days. It yep. sucked. But now I know how to do it.
But now you know how to do it.
And the whole time I was out of my comfort zone, struggling, watching stupid fucking young kids that were 22 run Adobe Premiere Pro and try to teach me how on YouTube.
Yep.
Like, it was painful.
Yeah.
None of us like to admit it, but we don't like to say, I am not good at that.
Right.
And I can't be good at that.
Yeah.
But it's just part of it.
Well,
it was a struggle for me. It really was.
As fast as the information day and age is moving along, like, you have to be, especially if you're direct to consumer with your business, you know, if you do a commercial construction, trades based business, you don't need as much social media content as you do direct to consumer. You That's still true. Need social media content, though. You still need content out there. The proof of concept in that is, how many times do you see on like NFL advertisements?
Yeah.
Take Arrowhead, for example. GEHA. The
G-E-H-A.
G-E-H-A, right?
Yeah, G-E-H-A.
Government Employee Health Administration, I think is what.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's Government Employee Health Administration. So GEHA sponsors Arrowhead Field.
Yeah, not stadium.
G-E-H-A. Yeah, not the stadium. Just the field. It's the GEHA field at Arrowhead.
The green
G-E-H-A
shit that's flat.
Field. Yeah. And
so dumb.
And it's like most of the people in attendance to that game or watching that game can't even buy government, employee, healthcare products. Because most people aren't government employees.
I wasn't sure you were going to get through that.
Yeah. But
staring at me.
But they're still putting out like their form of content is let's go sponsor the field of one of the better football teams in the nation right now and get our name out there.
Our
right?
name will be on the content that they are creating.
Yeah. And so you know, all of that stuff, like you need content out there, no matter what level you are. It's more important to get in front of those, you know, we all know that the women of the house typically make the buying decisions.
Yep.
And so the women of the house are also more commonly scrolling on, you know, TikToks and Facebooks and Instagrams and YouTubes and all of that stuff. And so that because that's where your buyers are, that's where your message has to be.
Yeah.
And so you've got to find ways to put content out there to where they're going to see it, right? You know, can you imagine like advertising in the newspaper today?
Oh my God, dude.
Like I haven't seen a newspaper in forever.
I know. I buy a Star, Kansas City Star.
Yeah.
In the winter for about 3 months, so I have Firestarter. That's it. That's the only reason I buy it.
Yeah.
It's $2.50 now or $3.50 or whatever. Dude, that'll last me a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it's really good for, if you want to know the truth.
And so you have a lot of people that are like, well, we've never had to, you know, we've never had to make social media content, so we're not going to start now. And it's like, dude, if you don't start now, like, you're already kind of behind.
Yeah.
Especially
the older guys like us. Like, dude, how many people are you selling stuff to in the home that are your age?
Right.
Not very many. And the older you get, the more of your customers are going to be younger than you.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a hard thing to look yourself in the mirror and go, I'm old and I've got to pretend like I'm young and I've got to do things that young people are doing to make sales.
Yep.
Like you don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I know fucking Dan Bianchi in our group don't want to do that.
Right.
Just part of it, man.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. Got to be outside of that comfort zone and just get after it.
Yep.
It sucks.
Yeah, because the comfort zone's where you go to die. So you want to stay out of the comfort
That's
zone.
Where you go to die.
It's a slow,
painful,
comfortable
death.
It's not painful. It's comfortable.
Well, I mean,
but it's a slow death.
You know, there's something to be said for if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
Even if you're flatlined, inflation's rolling.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to be growing just to battle inflation.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That means you need, right now in the bullshit economy we're in, you need 10% growth every year.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
If you're smaller, if you're bigger, it's different. But
yeah.
Just crazy, man.
So another thing I do want to point out, you guys may have noticed already, you haven't heard Austin's voice on the mic.
Yeah.
So Austin was employed by the Smedley Plumbing Company, and then one of the tasks that we had him doing was this podcast as well. And I made a decision that going into 2025, I was going to cut back our video roll. So for the last 2.5 years, I've had an on-staff videographer in the plumbing company, and we decided that going into 2025, we were going to eliminate that position. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Austin. Austin's fantastic. We're going to miss him terribly, especially on this show. But in the realm of business, sometimes you got to make tough decisions, and sometimes you have to do what's in the best interest of the business, because if the business isn't here in the future, nothing else is here. So the business is your mothership, and you always have to protect the mothership, right? So, and not to say that my plumbing company was in dire straits or anything like that. It wasn't, but
it wasn't as healthy as it probably should have been. Let's be honest.
It had room to improve on the bottom line expenses. And so we made a couple of cost-cutting measures going into 25 to help pick up our bottom line a little bit.
Did you fire that wife too yet?
Yeah. No. She's working double time now.
Yeah, she's down there working right now.
But we made a couple of cost-cutting measures. I mean, heck, one of the cost-cutting measures is we pulled insurance away from my dad and moved it to a different company because we're saving about 10 grand a year on insurance doing that. So, there just comes a time where, you know, like a lot of people would bring up the subject of loyalty in this, and where does your loyalty lie? And loyalty is kind of a funny word because you can use it to grow and you can use it to die. And if you remain loyal to the wrong things, you're going to die. If you remain loyal to the right things, you're going to grow. And so my loyalty is placed with the overall health of the business. And so that trumps my relationship with my dad and as far as buying insurance for my dad.
Yeah.
And that trumps my relationship with Austin as far as keeping him on staff, knowing that that position at this point in our video cycle, that position is not producing
what it should. It's not producing revenue.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah. So the nuts and bolts of it is the salary and benefits to employ an on-staff videographer and editor.
It was a shitload of money.
At this point, don't offset the revenue that comes in from it. Now, I will say this. This doesn't mean we're done with video. This doesn't mean that our YouTube channel is going away or anything like that. We have enough content in the bank that I can just continually upload that for a while and we'll still be okay. We've front-loaded a lot of content creation, and so now we can just slowly disseminate that and go from there.
Yeah.
So we wish Austin all the best. He's still going to run with his company, Smith Media. A lot of our followers on here might be friends with Austin on Facebook. If you're not, you can find him by searching through My Friends. So feel free to hit him up if you're looking for editing or video stuff or anything like that, because we're still going to use him from time to time.
Yeah, we're going to probably use him for editing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and when we have events, I will probably hire him to come out and shoot video for Tradewinds events.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I may edit him. I may pay him to edit him.
Right.
He's fairly good at his job.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the...
Running a business can be really bittersweet, especially when, I'll just use myself as an example. I get attached to people.
Yep.
Like, I have empathy for people. My emotions run rampant. I'm good at separating my emotions from my decision-making the majority of the time, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you have to let people go or you have to, you know, cut ties with an old friend because they're fucking bringing you down, that's just part of business, though.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you didn't want to make that decision.
No.
You wished that you were making so much money that you could have hired him a helper.
Right.
That's what you wish would happen.
Right.
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 But sometimes that shit just isn't reality.
Right.
And as a business owner, you got to make, you know, like you were saying, the health of the business comes first, right?
Yeah.
You can't let one employee drag you so far down that you have to fire two or three or the business goes under. Not that you were in that predicament, but if you hang on to everyone, that can happen.
Yeah. Well, and once your business gets to some standard size, there are decisions that can, you know, help grow the business or cripple the business, and it just depends. And so, like, alleviating Austin's salary is enough to allow me to further invest into other growth areas of the business. We can grow in marketing areas. We can grow in equipment, you know, vehicles and all of those kinds of things. And so, you know, businesses don't have endless supplies of money. And when you look into that bucket of money and there's not much left in there, you got to start making some cuts.
Don't tell liberals that. They think every business is rich as fuck and they can just get whatever they, you know,
just
they don't realize how much work it takes to get that money to start with.
Right. Right.
You know?
So,
but we wish Austin the best.
Yeah.
Love us some Austin.
We absolutely wish Austin the best.
He saw him today.
I've seen him the last couple of days here. You know, we may even have him back on the show. We worked with Austin to get him set up with an LLC and his taxes and everything, just like we do the listeners of this show.
Yeah, what's that been, a year ago?
Yeah, probably Austin had firsthand experience with us helping him get him set up to run his business.
Yeah, so. And if you do want to get in contact with him, other than social media or whatever, if you go to tradewindsconsulting.com at the bottom of the page, there's a Smith Media graphic you can click on, and it takes you straight to his Facebook stuff.
Yeah.
So if you... if you want to have some videos edited or whatever, you can reach him there.
Yep.
And I told him I'd leave it up there. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So,
wish him nothing but the best.
What's kind of wild is he went out with a bang.
He did.
So, our last show, or maybe two shows ago, I can't remember. Two shows ago, we were talking about my wife's stolen car.
Maybe three. God damn, we're getting old, man.
Yeah.
Time just quick.
We were talking about my wife's stolen car and the story of how I found it. It passed me on the highway and all that stuff.
Yeah, we won't.
So we cropped up with that. But. Yeah, we cropped it up into a 3-minute long YouTube short and put it on YouTube. And currently, right now, it's at about 2.2 million views. It's got like 5,000 comments.
Dude, we have shorts.
Crazy.
We have shorts on there that have been on there for 2 full years and have like 500 views.
Yeah.
So needless to say, we either got to change up our what we put
yeah,
in
we just
got to
bash cops apparently. So, but
oh my god, dude.
But yeah, that's probably one of the, I mean, that's the most impressive short form video that Austin's ever made for sure.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And so we've got that floating around there. But I did want to kind of take a sidebar for a minute and go over some of the comments that are on that.
Scroll down there. And then just read me one.
I read
through some, but I did not. Dude, there were so many.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So high level overview. I find my car. It passes me on the highway. I prove that it's mine. Like I confirm that it's mine. There's some unique identifiers on it that say, okay, that's mine.
Yeah.
I take a quick like 4-second video of it, and then I call the cops. I call 911.
Yeah,
and that's when the shit show started because 911 took like 7 or 8 minutes to answer the phone, and then it was a 6-minute conversation that went nowhere because the dispatcher was forcing me to give her the police case number, the police report number before she would even do anything on the call. She wouldn't take the address of where I was driving following my stolen car or anything.
Yeah, lazy bitch.
And yeah,
sorry.
So.
Got some cold going on here.
So most of these comments are, I'm going to have to go to a different app to find them.
You know, Austin's not here. You think our stuff's still recording?
I hope.
Should I check?
I hope.
It's the light's still red. I mean, maybe we should switch some of this stuff around so I can fucking see it.
Ah, my volume's up. Okay. So
that's what
yeah,
she said.
2.22 million views.
Hey, nice.
4,888 comments and 125 reactions. So let's go through some of these comments.
Oh, my God.
So I ended up pinning this one. When you run a YouTube channel, you can pin one comment. And this was the best comment I saw, so I pinned it.
Okay, read it to me.
And it was like, him, I'm going to call the cops. That's me, right?
Yeah.
The cops. No, you're not. The criminals just laughing.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Because the cops refused to help me.
No,
right?
No, you're not.
So, a lot of these comments are saying the person who answered the 911 operator should be fired. They absolutely should.
Probably,
some of these comments
yeah.
are suggesting to lie to the police and tell them that you think you saw a gun or they shot at you or officer down or shots fired
oh, yeah,
or something.
That's good. That doesn't get you in trouble later.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not about lying or filing a false police report, right?
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's something that they would actually work on.
Right.
If you're a white man and make a false claim, you're fucked.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I see my own stolen Jeep, they forget or like they refuse to help me and I go make a false police report trying to get them out there faster? And then I get in trouble.
That's
meanwhile,
exactly
my Jeep's still running around there.
That's
stolen.
Exactly what would happen.
Yeah,
they just drive by, giving you the finger as they go yeah. by the police station.
Right.
Ugh.
So one of the comments that really struck out to me was like they call it the criminal justice system for a reason.
Yeah, it's in their favor.
Yeah, it's to give yeah. justice to the criminals, not to the innocent people.
Yeah,
that's pretty smart.
I mean, innocent until proven guilty. Like so, yes. Technically,
right.
But I mean, come on, you got to try.
Yeah. Well, so the bad part is in our area, our prosecutor sucks. And we have a new one that's been recently voted in, so we don't know how that's going to work.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah. The previous one, the way that they were set up, if you saw, let's say this, if you saw a white man with a purple shirt and white pants steal your car, and 5 minutes later, the police pull over your car with a white man with a purple shirt and white shorts in it, that is not enough evidence to convict that person with theft.
No.
Because they didn't see the guy steal your car with your own eyes, with
no.
their own
You'd
eyes.
You'd have to have video evidence.
Video evidence is not even admissible in court on theft claims. And so the police at most would charge that person with being in possession of stolen property.
Which is dumb because I was on a murder trial and yep. there was video evidence. Well, they showed us that kid shooting two people.
Yeah.
That's admissible. But if it's in theft, oh no.
Right. And that's the.
That could be somebody else. What do you mean? What
right. They would allude to some it being somebody else,
what
right?
What the fuck are you talking about?
And so we had here in our plumbing company, we had one of our guys stopped at a CVS and it was like springtime. He had all his windows down and he jumped in the back of the truck to grab something. And while he was in the back, a car pulled up to the front of his Transit, reached through the window and stole his tablet and drove away. And it's all on the CVS security cameras. Our guy gets out, gets back in the front, gets home and realizes, oh crap, my tablet's gone.
Yeah. What
and,
the fuck?
And then starts to put it all together. We call up CVS and CVS is like, sure shit. Here they are stealing your stuff. I'm like, cool. Can I get that video? Nope. The police can only get it, but they have to have a warrant. Okay. So we call the police, make a report. They get a warrant. They go get the video and everything else. And I'm like, cool. We got the guy. And the police are like, nope. Just because they were driving that car doesn't mean we know they're the ones who stole it. What do you mean? They got out of the car, got back in the car.
Well, they could have let someone borrow their
car. Yeah, they could have let somebody borrow the car. And I'm like, okay, so you take the license plate that you can clearly see from the video. You go to their address.
And you ask them.
And you ask them, and you find them in possession of the tablet. Well, if they're in possession of it, then they're just in possession of stolen property. Like, and this is...
That's fine. I want my goddamn tablet back, you right, motherfucker.
Right. And this is the way the police have to handle this because their prosecution sucks. And so the police aren't going to invest tons and tons of office hours, you know, thinking they have somebody dead to rights. And meanwhile, the prosecutor's looking for every reason in the world to get these people off.
Yeah.
And so the other thing when it comes to stolen property...
Mitch Smedley and I are going to run for Congress when we're 50. Mitch is going to... I'm going to move out of our county. And he's going to get ours, and I'm going to run for another one.
There you go.
We're going to fuck these guys up, man.
You know, another thing is, like with stolen automobiles, there's no incentive for the cops to recover stolen automobiles.
No. If they get in a high-speed chase, they risk their lives and others.
Right.
Right. Even if they do catch them, they're in possession of a stolen, which is a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Right.
Like the stealing of the car.
Yeah, not Grand Theft Auto.
Like, at what point is it not worth them?
Right.
Right there.
Well,
it only takes those two things.
Yeah, and it's because there's no financial incentive for it. Like, let's even say that you could kid them with Grand Theft Auto. Okay, cool. It still costs the police a bunch of money to do all that and a lot of risk, and there's no reward. And so I think it should come in.
They've driven by 8 meth houses, and they're like, look, you want us to work on the drugs, or you want us to chase these cars?
Yeah, but our murder rates, It's really bad when your city gets in such a bad position that you can use your horrible crime rate to excuse your horrible crime rate.
Yeah.
Like we're too busy dealing with murders to worry about car thefts.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you got more problems than just one, but still, these are problems nonetheless.
Yeah, like in our city, we are short, like...
200 cops.
Is it 200?
Yeah.
Is that the latest tally?
Yeah.
200.
Yeah.
And we're not St. Louis.
Yeah.
We're not Chicago.
Yeah.
We're on the good end,
and
we're still 200 short.
Yep.
You think the criminals don't fucking know that?
They absolutely know it, because all this took place 2 blocks from the police station. Hey,
before we get like too far or too behind, like what happened? Why are we 200 short, Mitch?
Well, imagine being a cop that can't do anything and is in the position to be scrutinized only.
Yeah.
Right?
And when he does his job... Everyone sues him. He goes on social media and is fucking crucified for doing his job.
Yeah.
Because one jackass killed a black guy.
Yeah.
Because one fucking loser killed someone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not not all cops are bad.
Yeah.
Hello?
So like 5,000 comments on that YouTube short, and fucking I'm going to say over
BLM,
half the comments.
Kiss my ass.
Over half the comments are saying cops suck, and it's really not cops. It's the system that the cops have to work from.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
I've got a couple of friends that are cops and they're cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I've met a couple of bad cops. But for the most part, most of the cops that I know are pretty good. It's just
they
have to work from, and their rules suck.
Yeah.
And it makes them look bad because they're the ones who have to enforce the bad policy.
Yeah.
Right? There was a comment on that short of a 911 dispatcher that was standing up for the dispatcher that performed poorly. And she was like, it's not their fault. You know, they're just going by their policy and blah, 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 which we now know that's not their policy.
Yeah. I saw you were on the news today.
Yeah, the news.
I didn't see you on the news, but I saw your bullshit. I don't know how drama – I shouldn't say drama. Yeah, I should say drama. I don't know how this stuff just magnetizes to you.
Yeah.
But it's like you walk outside and it's just like –
Yeah.
Something's happening to Mitch today. We don't know what it is.
It's like TED TV.
But some bullshit's about to happen to TED TV.
Yeah.
About to happen to Mitch today.
So, yeah, the news stopped by to get the story about everything because they saw the social media activity and everything else. And then the news, unbeknownst to me, the news went and interviewed like a sergeant of the KCPD.
Nice.
And the sergeant of the KCPD is like, we don't need the case number. You just, you know, if they're asking for it, just tell them you'll get it to them later, but just tell them to go ahead and roll the officers. And I was never afforded that possibility.
No. Like, that bitch was like, nope, fuck
that lady
you,
was
dude.
Like, and so now I'm going to have to use the Freedom of Information Act and go get the recording.
It was probably her fucking cousin has been stealing
could
your
be.
Shit. Yeah, that's exactly what the fuck is happening.
But,
oh, SRT?
Yeah.
That's Tyrone.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's Jessica.
I'll use the Freedom of Information Act and get the recording of it because you'll be able to see in the recording. Like, I'm not embellishing this shit. Like she was like, if you want this conversation to go any further, you're gonna have to give me the case number.
I will say this: the void is not monetized, but if you can back up what we had with the short with that,
yeah,
dude,
we'll get there.
I mean, we will get there.
So there's literally a point in that conversation where she's like, sir, you're not helping right now. And I'm like, you're not fucking helping either.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Screaming
it's
going
to be hilarious. Yeah. I can't wait to fucking hear it. So, oh, my God. Knowing you is like having my own TV station.
I don't remember all the ins and outs of the conversation because I was so heated and I was a little distracted, you know, chasing my stolen car and everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, she was like, I hope you have a good day. And I'm like, I hope you have a horrible day. So funny. But
I hope you die.
I didn't wish death on her. I just have the day you deserve, you know.
I have the day you deserve.
Yeah.
If you'd have said that, that would have been better than anything else.
Yeah.
I hope you have the day you
deserve.
Oh my God.
So
what's the matter with
you? We don't know the race of the people that stole my car. And all I know, the only description I have of them is when they ran out of the house, they were running across the street holding their pants up to get in the car. Yeah.
Dude, the comments are pretty racist.
Yeah, the comments are like, well, holding their pants up, running across the street. We know who stole the car and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I've seen white dudes sag just as bad.
I don't know if Brad Akers listens to this podcast, but he's still sagging his pants.
Yeah.
And he's a white dude.
He's
44.
I genuinely have no clue of their race. It was cold out, so they're wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, you can't see them.
And from a block and a half away, it's very difficult to make out somebody's race.
Yeah.
Literally the only identifier I have is it was two dudes holding their pants up.
Yeah.
They were holding their pants up with their right hand and running with their left hand. So,
yeah. Now, maybe if the cops would have showed up and pulled them over, you'd know.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
If they would have.
Let's be honest. Not that it fucking matters.
Yeah.
They're still criminals. Regardless of their skin color, they're fucking criminals.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still in possession. Like, even if they aren't the ones that stole the car.
Yeah.
They're still in possession of the stolen car, and it's not theirs. It's mine.
I love when you used to see on Cops and what's the new one? Live Police.
Oh, Live PD.
Live PD, which is great,
yeah,
by the way. Like, they pull over a stolen car, and every time, it's my mama's. It's my brother's.
It's my buddy's.
My friend down the street let me borrow it.
Yeah.
Dude, come on. Own your shit. Yeah, I fucking stole it.
Yeah.
Or even if you didn't steal it.
Well, they...
I mean, like, hey...
They know that that's all they have to say, and if they stand up on that ground, they're in possession. They're not Grand Theft Auto.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should make in possession of stolen goods over $1,000 is a felony still.
Yeah.
It used to be.
Yeah.
I don't know what the dollar amount was. I'm probably wrong on the dollar amount.
Yeah.
But it's a felony. It's someone else's car.
There are ways to nip this in the bud, right? And it's going to take more than a one-hour podcast to come up with it. It's going to take some legal...
People that are smarter than us.
Yeah.
We're just
it's
going to
take some
guys.
People that understand how legislation works and everything else. Here's the way I've come
you
up with
it. You know what? Hey, Mark Alford.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Get some legislation passed for us.
What's funny is he's not my rep. No, wait.
He's our rep.
If you go three blocks away, he's not their rep.
Yeah. He's my rep.
We're right on the border of his area.
Hey, Mark Alford, help us out, bro.
Yeah.
It would be Missouri legislation.
It would.
Probably.
It would. And so where I see this actually getting better...
I'm just going to start saying Mark Alford all the time. See if he fucking see if he gets picked up and he sees it.
Yeah. Where I see this happening, realistically, is... So, like, let's just use brass tacks, for example. I owned that car. I had a loan on that car. Okay? I had insurance on that car. So now there are three people that have a financial vested interest in that automobile.
Yeah.
Me?
Who's number one, though?
It. I mean, it depending on your payoff,
depending on your balance.
Yeah.
Who is it? It's the insurance.
The
company.
Insurance number one, because they're responsible for the value of the car, regardless of how much I own versus how much the bank owns.
Yeah. Technically, right? Your insurance company is the first lien holder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is what it is.
And so where I came to with all of this is like, okay, there's only risk and there's no financial incentive for the police to go after stolen property. Well, what if a portion of the proceeds from recovering the stolen property went to the police department? That Jeep's valued at $60,000. Okay. So what if, like, in, like, hypothetically, and again,
we need to have a cop on.
This isn't a solution. This is just like my best solution so far, because money drives the bus everywhere. Let's say 10% of the value of the car goes to the police department, and 10% of the value of the car doesn't go back to the bank or the owner. Okay?
Can you imagine the screws they'd be trying to turn on that fucking police department?
Well, they're going to be pressuring the police department to find more of them.
Yeah.
Well, and now the police department's incentivized to find more of them.
Yeah.
You know, they could go recover 10 stolen cars a day.
I mean,
and be making $50,000 to $100,000.
Don't they get paid for, like, if they bust a drug dealer and it's an owned car, don't they get to sell it off in a police auction? Do they still do police auctions?
They still do police auctions, but I don't know what the parameters are. Because, like, my Jeep shouldn't ever end up in a police auction, because it got totaled out. My insurance pays me and the lien holder. Splits, you know, if they pay the lien holder first and whatever's left over comes to me.
And then they sell the car and try
and
to get
back
whatever they
can. And then now the insurance owns the car.
Yeah, if
and
it's
so
not
the
too
insurance
fucked up, they'll sell it.
Tries to sell it, right? Yeah. So I don't know how cops get the unless it's just unclaimed property. You know, they recover a stolen car that they can't find the owner to or something. I
don't know how that works anymore.
But between banks that have the loans on the vehicle and the insurance companies that have the insurance on the vehicle, somewhere there is money that can go to the police department to incentivize them financially to start curbing this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what? You would think that they would maybe push for that because they're already underfunded and they bitch about not having any money. Like, hey,
right,
if you guys want your fucking cars back,
right,
this is what we need to put into place.
Right.
Like, right, you know, before they're completely trashed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a thought, right?
Yeah. Well, and so what's wild is, like, after I saw the car, I sent the car, the video, and the story to my insurance company. I'm like, if the police don't do shit, I bet the insurance company's more interested in finding this than the police are. And the insurance company took it, and they said, cool, thanks. We'll let you know if we can do anything with this. And then 10 days later, I get a check in the mail. So, but that's another one of the common comments in there is, in the video, we mentioned that I received a settlement packet. And then I saw my stolen car a couple days later. And a lot of people are confusing the fact...
Well, you hadn't got a check yet.
A settlement and a settlement packet are two totally different things.
No.
The settlement packet is a big 30-page document that the insurance company sends you where they're basically trying to tell you your car's worth nowhere near what it actually is.
Yeah.
And they have all of these, like, comparables and all of this data to support it.
Yeah.
If you've ever had a stolen car and you're arguing with insurance...
Do your due diligence and try to find some that match.
They love to interchange these terms, actual cash value and replacement value. And most vehicles are insured for actual cash value. But if you have a classic car or something like that, then they will insure it for replacement value.
Yeah. Well, that's how our classic car is.
Yeah. How do you think they determine actual cash value? It's the cost to replace the car.
I know.
It's the same fucking thing, right? I know. And so
semantics.
Yeah.
It's fucking semantics.
They sent me a value that was about $5,000 less than what the car was actually worth.
Yeah.
And then they come up with all these supporting things. And, well, we found one that was sold 6 months ago and we think it was sold for this. And we found one that was sold 3 months ago and we think it was sold for that. And so I argued with them and I'm like, hey, I found one in Oklahoma.
Yeah. We talked about this on the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we argued back and forth and I ended up getting them to bump their money up and cover everything.
Yeah,
and then I took the check, and that was 10 days after that.
Yeah.
So 12 days after I got the packet, I got a check. 10 days after I saw my stolen car on the road,
yeah,
I got a check.
Your wife's still bitching about missing stuff from that car.
Yeah, I know.
She got to let that shit go, dog.
Well, she just wants all of her stuff back. So
it's called therapy.
Well.
She needs some therapy.
she's just going to get it replaced. I mean.
Yeah, you know. I know, but still. It's like, let it go. It's gone.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
well,
I
she's
was
letting
less.
It go. She's just gonna, like she's not harboring.
Oh no, she's holding on to shit.
No, she's just like, I want my cup back. Like she had a
well, she ain't getting it back.
No, she doesn't want that one back. She just wants
it's a cup.
A cup like that again. You
it's
know what
a
I mean?
Cup.
Yeah.
It's a cup.
No, she yeah.
It's a cup.
She's not attached to the
she's
cup.
She's attached to that cup.
Yeah. She just wants what was stolen back. Like that's not
yeah.
You know.
It's I will say this, the first time you've had something very personal stolen from you, like it's a gut punch.
Yeah.
But you know, the second, third time, you're like, yeah, it's just shit.
Yeah.
It's just,
well,
it's shit.
Having a car stolen is different than having your house broken into and stuff out of your house. Like,
man, your house broken into. We've never had that, thank God.
We have.
That's, I know you have.
Yeah.
That's violating.
Yeah.
Because you literally don't feel safe in your own home for a while.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? You're like, oh,
yeah,
these motherfuckers know. Like what I have personally in my house, they can envision where we were at and what's going on, and
yep.
my kid, you know, and it's just like, ugh,
yeah,
like that's brutal.
Yeah,
car,
it can be, but like even like while all this is going on, life still has to go on, business still has to go on, personal still has to go on, like all the things have to go, and so very much like in business, shit's gonna come up, and you're gonna have to find a way to deal with it and not let everything else slip. So, you know, we've had three at-fault accidents that took our trucks out of the fleet for a while. And now we have a fourth.
It's not,
no, no.
It's not funny, sorry. But it's funny.
We've had three not-at-fault accidents that took our trucks yeah. out of the fleet for a while. We've had another one in the last few weeks that was at fault. It's our fault.
Is that the one that hit the sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a temporary construction sign.
Did you get that brush guard yet?
Bubble wrap. I need like a motorcade to just lead the way to get everybody out of the way for my trucks, I guess. I don't know. But
just a bad you're just on a bad run.
Yeah, we're on a bad run.
But the thing about bad runs is it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, and the first is tomorrow.
Yep.
The first yep. is tomorrow.
Fresh.
We fucking
slate.
Clean slate and let's get the fuck after it.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about how New Year's resolutions are kind of bullshit and New Year, New Me is like wrong.
But those aren't goals.
It's not really goals, but like I enacted three cost-cutting measures and one profit-adding measure all to take place on the first of the year. And this is shit that I've been working on for a few months, calculating and measuring what the measures need to be, but then also the effectiveness of the measures and everything else. And we put them all into place this week. And the reason why is because I want a clean break from 24 to 25. I want to be able to say like...
Well, that's because it's a fiscal financial thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Taxes are due on the 31st.
Yeah. And yeah. so like I want to be able to look back at 24 and say, okay, our average monthly overhead in 2024 was X. Our average monthly overhead in 2025 was Y.
Yeah.
Like there's the benefit of us making these measures, right? Our average profit was X in 24 and our average profit was Y in 25. Yeah. You know?
I talked about this a little on the Monday Motivational the other day. It was... The wrong thing to do is, okay, on the first, I'm going to reevaluate and have a great year on 2025. No. You got to start Q4
yeah.
of 2024.
October.
So that when you hit 2025 on the first, you are fucking doing what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
2025 doesn't start in February. Okay? It starts on the first.
Right.
If you're going to enact things, and I'm not saying it's too late.
Right.
Get the fuck after it. Don't
yeah.
don't wait to be like, okay, well, when I get back to the office on the first or the second or the third or whatever, I'm going to start
yeah.
to worry about 2025. No, 2025 preparation starts in Q4,
the beginning of
Q4.
By the time you're hearing this, it's already 2025.
Yeah, you're late, motherfuckers.
You're late.
3 days behind.
Now, that doesn't mean don't do it. That means don't lie to yourself and say 2025 is going to be badass. Be real with yourself. And say Q2, 3, and 4 of 25 is going to be badass. I'm going to spend Q1 shaping the last three quarters of the year.
Yeah, and don't give yourself till the end of Q1. Start now, and if you get done earlier, just get after it.
Yeah,
I love how people like to say people give themselves deadlines so that they can slack off until the deadline.
Yeah,
that's why they do it.
Yeah.
Make a decision now and go with it now.
Yeah.
It's not, well, man, by February 15th, I'm going to be really after it and I'm going to do... No. Start now.
Yep.
And whenever you get done, get done.
Yep.
Like, I understand that's the deadline, but should it really take that long? Probably not.
Yeah.
You're probably just giving yourself slack. Stop.
There's a funny clip floating around. It's like a recorded Zoom call. And it's like these four or six office executives. and you could tell which one's kind of the leader and the manager, and they're like checking in with all the people that they delegated to.
Okay.
And they're like,
is this the one where the guy's jerking off?
No, okay. No, that one's funny too. But, no,
I think
this,
he did it on purpose.
This lady's like, it's a lady manager, and she's like, you know, Dan, are you good to have that stuff done by EOD? And he's like,
end
yep.
of deadline for those of you that are...
end of day. EOD is end of day, right? And he goes, yeah, we're and this Zoom meeting is occurring on like December 2nd. And he goes, yeah, we should be totally good. I checked out with the team and we are totally good to have this done by the end of December. And she's like, what? And he goes, EOD, end of December. And she goes, EOD means end of day.
I thought it was end of deadline, and then sometimes the deadlines are just the day.
No, end of day.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mistake.
And so you know, they argue back and forth about it. But yeah, like clarify what the deadline is, right? Because here this guy thought he had a month and he had a day.
Yeah. And can you imagine the cold sweat? He was like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Like just immediate panic. He goes back into the meeting after that. Hey guys, we got 4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, but get it done.
Yeah. We're good at this for a reason. Let's show them how good we are, right?
Yeah, which never happens.
But the idea of thinking you're going to like start focusing on your business in January would be very similar to like an NFL team waiting to watch tape of the team they're going to play against until the end of the first quarter of the game where they're playing against them.
Yeah.
Right? You watch the tape ahead of time, you analyze the moves ahead of time, and you enter the first quarter with a game plan.
Yeah.
That's business.
Yeah.
You watch how the year progressed, like only now your enemy is literally yourself, right? You're not playing against another team. Your enemy is your past performance.
Yeah. And it's so funny, too, because how hard are you on yourself?
Right.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, are you letting yourself slack off?
Yeah.
Or are you looking yourself in the mirror and going, dude, I got to figure this shit out, and I got to figure it out now.
Yeah, the most successful people out there are harder on themselves than anybody else,
God
right?
damn, I beat myself up constantly.
Yeah. And so, and it's kind of hard to be hard on yourself but have positive internal talk.
I have no positive internal talk.
Yeah.
I have none.
That's hard.
It is hard. Right? I can't do it. Like, I just literally say, fuck this, I've got to get out. Like, and I'm just like, why aren't you done?
Yep.
Why is this taking so long?
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Now, when things are done, I'm better at it. Like, this is going to sound bad. I can look in the mirror and be like, dude, you are a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know,
that's not dumb.
But that's when it's over.
Yeah.
But getting to the over, it's all negative.
Yeah.
I'm extremely difficult on myself.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for like daily affirmations, right? Things that you say to yourself every day that you need to remind yourself of, because all it takes is, we've talked about it on the podcast before, David Goggins, when he was watching people drop out of Navy SEAL training. Goggins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he went on to figure out how many seconds are in Navy SEAL training. And he was like, it's not about making it all the way through the end. He said the thing to make it all the way through the end is you have to tell yourself not to give up that many. Like, it only takes 1 second to quit.
Yeah.
One fleeting thought manifests in 1 second, and you're like, fuck this, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to combat that for all of those seconds of Navy SEAL training.
Yeah.
So, because the moment you quit, it's over.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's so crazy.
But
and people quit a lot of times before they even know it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the second thought, like that 1 second, they're like, okay, I'm out. And then they don't quit for a while, but that was the 1 second.
Dude.
That creeped into their mind. And it's crazy how quickly it can happen.
Service techs will do it before they ever even step foot on a job or in a customer's home.
I'm not going to sell to these
one,
rich motherfuckers.
They'll read into a call, depending on where their headspace is at. They'll read into a call and think it's either a good call or a bad call. They convince themselves that it is that, and then the outcome is whatever they've convinced themselves, right?
You know, this is the text talk. Like, when you text someone and you put thought and empathy and tone into reading words, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they'll read that call and be like, oh, I can't sell that. You don't know the tone of that call. You don't know how that person was on the phone when they called dispatch. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you've literally talked yourself out of it before it even happened.
Right.
And you have to, that's a mindset thing of, I'm going to read this. I'm going to just take the facts out of it.
Yep.
And then I'm just going to do the best that I can with it. Did the camera just die?
It may have. Hop up real quick and see.
Oh, God damn it.
I know the audio's
The audio's still going. Let's hope the camera's still going.
Sometimes having a business partner is really tough. Mm.
All right, we are back. Sorry for the minor inconvenience there. We will probably have more of those as we
No, we won't. This will be the only fucking one we have.
As we navigate through this without our videographer here. So, but this is also proof of concept that you can have changes in your business. You can figure it out. You can learn new things, and you can adapt and overcome. Going all the way back to the core episodes of this show, some of those core episodes are about analyzing your performance, making corrections, and improving, right? And
yeah.
And so essentially that's what we've done here on a big grand scale is analyze performance, make changes, and improve.
What were we talking about?
When the battery died?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the NFL teams waiting until the quarters to analyze their video data and make changes and everything else. So
you gonna be able to get it back?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So,
oh, that's good stuff. You're not the one that has to figure it out later.
I know where we were talking. We were talking about how technicians will judge a call.
Correct.
So what I try to teach all of our plumbing techs is ignore what the call notes say. Every call is an open book. Now, you don't know what the book's going to say, but the call notes ain't right either, right?
No.
So the call notes will tell you the area of interest that they're having you out for, but that's it, right? The reason they called. How many times have you gone to a car dealer, or how many times have you gone to the tire shop because you have a flat and you walk out of there with four new tires?
Never. I'm an asshole, though.
Well, you're an asshole, right? But you know, there's a lot of times where the symptom of why somebody calls is not the solution.
Yeah.
And so I try to teach all of our, that's why we have a very strict sales process in our company. And if you follow the process, it opens the doors to all things that are possible on the house.
Yeah.
And with the customer. And then you go from there. You know, it's highly possible you go to a call for a running toilet and then sell a water heater.
Yeah.
Right? It's highly possible that you go to a call for a water heater and all you do is fix a toilet.
Yeah.
Like the nature of why they called isn't necessarily the repair that you're going to do there. And so, not prejudging the calls is huge, but being able to adapt to things as they happen is also huge.
Yeah.
And making sure that people have that ability to do that is massive.
Yeah.
And you have to do it in your business too.
Yeah. And we're not talking, going to get into sales calls or how to handle sales calls here, but like the most powerful line when you go into a home is, hey, you've already paid me to be here. Is there anything else you want me to look at?
Yes.
To a woman, that is the greatest line. Because
yeah.
How many times has she gone to her husband and been like, well, the sink drips, or that toilet makes a weird sound sometimes, or I don't like downstairs in the basement the big loud thump when the sump pump kicks off. Well, he may not be there, and she's there to meet you.
Right.
And you say that, and she's like, oh.
Yep.
He ain't here. I can get this guy to look at all the shit that he won't look at.
Yeah.
Why he's here.
Yep.
And I don't have to pay him anything else to look at it.
Yeah.
And that opens the book to enormous amount of sales potential.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. And
that was
so
my favorite every time.
Pre-reading, pre-judging calls,
By what's on the dispatch thing is worthless.
That 1 second. For the same reason David Goggins says it's you got to watch out for the one bad second because it can ruin your whole career. It's
yeah.
The same thing on that. If you already have a negative impression of the call that you're about to run and you haven't even driven there yet, I guarantee you will have a negative outcome with that call.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you'll get the minimum.
I can't guarantee a positive outcome. But if you have a negative thought process about the call, it will be a negative outcome every time.
Yeah.
And so the same goes with your business. I can't guarantee that you're going to have a positive year this year. But I can guarantee you that if your head's in the shitter, you're going to have a negative year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we have to keep our head up and keep a positive attitude even when all the things come, right? And so many people have this negative attitude of like, oh, well, you know, we were going to hit the ground hard and running in January. I had a lot of things that I wanted to get done, but my wife's car got stolen. And so that distracted me.
Yeah.
And
they use it as an excuse, is what they do.
They're just waiting.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to have a good day today, but the Starbucks people messed up my order.
Yeah.
And they're
just waiting for one little thing. It's the same thing as people that are perfectionists. Like, just use myself as an example. Like, when we first started this podcast, I would listen back, right?
Right.
And if it wasn't perfect, I would be like, well, you know, I just should give it up. I'm not perfect. I'm not, you know, this and that, blah, blah. Fuck no.
Right.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
3 years. No, you don't give up because you had one bad moment.
Right.
You just keep on fucking moving forward.
Yeah.
Deal with it and move on.
Yeah.
Don't let those one little hiccups, those one little doubts that creep in, upset the entire foundation of what you've been building and working hard on for all these years. It's insane. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You can't win that way.
No. No. You'll never win. You see people all the time. Yeah. And I'm going to stereotype here for a second because it will just help you envision who I'm talking about.
Oh, God. Here we go.
All you have to do is strike up a conversation with anybody in Walmart. You strike up a conversation with anybody in Walmart, and they will give you 1,000 reasons why they are where they are in life.
Yep.
And none of them are their fault.
I got divorced 24 years ago, and she took all my money. Dude, you had 24 years. What are you even doing?
People have built empires and collapsed them in 24 years.
Yeah.
And you're
Or built four.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You told me you couldn't get off the mat?
Right.
Stop.
Right. And you know, people are very, very quick to not take accountability for their actions. Well, the only thing between you and the goals that you have for yourself is you.
Yeah.
There's nothing else, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to learn how to use that as leverage and light a fire under your own ass and say, like, hey, I'm going to do good, right?
Yeah.
You know, you see this with fitness all the time. You know, I don't have time to work out. Okay. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you watch Squid Game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then what the fuck? You had time for that?
You had time.
Yeah,
right?
You had time. You chose to do something else with your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to dog pound with you, so don't ask.
No, I'm not saying that. But you're also not obese and need to work out.
I do need to work out.
Well, you probably need to work out. But
I told you this when I got here. Man, my legs hurt. So we're going skiing the end of January, and so I'm like, man, I got to hit the elliptical. I got to do some weights on my quads. I got to get my legs back in shape. I could barely get up this morning. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
It sucks being over 40.
I got a feeling I'm going to be struggling this year on the ski slopes because I have not done any cardio for a year. It's all been heavy weight lifting.
Do you realize that all you have to do is jog at a moderate pace for 15 minutes when you go to dog pound, and by the time we go, you'll be fine?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I don't want to hear cardio.
No, you don't. It's just not as good as it needs to be.
I'm going to be breathing heavy. I told your son that we were talking about you. We were all on the boat together. I don't know if you remember. And I was like, dude, Mitch, your cardio is bad. You got it. You know, we were talking about you leaning down. And he goes, his cardio is awful. Like, I can hear. He looks at me and he goes, he just. And I was like, yeah.
That's me.
Got to hit the
not a long distance. I've never once run a 10-minute mile. So.
You don't have to. just run a 20-minute mile. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, get a little movement going.
I've done 10:30, but I've never done 10.
You've never run a 10-minute mile?
Never run a 10-minute mile. Now, if all I'm doing is a mile, I could probably knock it out.
I was going to say, we're getting off topic here, but goddamn, dude, you should be able to do a 7.5-minute mile.
No, like I'll go run 5 miles. And it takes me over an hour to run 5 miles.
That's a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. If all I'm doing is a mile, I could probably knock it out in like 8 minutes.
Then lay down and try not to die.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I'll be dead for a week. So. But, you know, I don't want to get into sharing too much of my own personal business or anything else, but like I've had a ton of distractions in life here lately.
Yeah, this last quarter's been brutal on you.
Yeah. But, none of that has deterred me from staying the course on the goals. Anytime a new distraction comes in, literally the first thing that pops into my mind is, all right, I got to figure out how to achieve my goals and solve this.
Yeah.
Right. This is added to the plate. Nothing comes off like this comes on. Right.
Yeah, it's an extra helping.
Yeah. And if you approach things with that attitude, you're going to find that you're going to start progressing much faster than you ever have before.
Yeah.
I see it all the time with like our service techs. We'll have 4 calls scheduled on them for the day and their first call runs long.
Fucks up their whole day.
And so now they're like, well, I'm not going to get to any of all my other calls today. And it's like, hold on.
Yeah, you're
just
fine.
As easily as your first call ran long, your second call might be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
You know, like we just got to take it as it comes and do the best with what we can with what's right in front of us.
Yeah.
So you can't be worried about too much in the future. You just handle the things that are in your control and you don't worry about the things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
And calls that are on the future of the board are out of your control, right? And the things that are in your control, like the most important customer is the one that you're standing in front of at the moment.
Yeah. Sell that call, fix that call.
Yeah, sell that call, sell as much as you can on that call, do everything that the customer wants you to do on that call. Don't worry about the rest.
Yeah.
And if it means you run long and you only run two calls all day long, I'm happy to reschedule the other two.
Yeah.
Because chances are we made a fuck ton of money on the two that you did run.
Yeah.
Because you were there all day.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's kind of my motto is like I try to give the guys plenty of opportunity and then I handle it whenever there's overages.
Yeah.
So.
And that's how it should be.
Right.
It should not be on them. And I know guys that work at companies, they're like, oh, no, you're going to have to call your other calls and see if they can do it later or reschedule or whatever. No, that's dispatch.
Yep.
And the owner of the business or manager or whoever the hell you have in place, that's their job.
Yeah.
You call them and say, hey, I've sold this. I know I'm going to be here at least 3 hours. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
And then you guys take it from
there.
We had
it happen today.
That's how it should work.
Yeah, we had it happen today. One of my guys on his first call had an opportunity to sell a complete sewer replacement, and we did a like we already knew he was going to be 2 or 3 hours behind schedule now.
Yeah.
And so we analyzed all of his calls. We took the least emergent call. It was a call for like a drippy sink.
Yeah.
Like not
that can be moved to the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dripping into the sink and draining. It's not causing a mess. It's not damaging property. And so we called him up and say, hey, can we come out tomorrow? We'll offer you a $30 cancellation, like a $30 consolation discount. Like,
yeah,
you know, a $30 credit to your account. Thanks for your accommodation.
Do people take that every time?
And they're like, oh yeah, happy. Like I'll move it 2 days out if it turns into 60.
Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, no shit. Right.
But, you know, be a little empathetic and apologetic to them. And plumbing is kind of easy because you just tell them, like, we never know what we're getting into each day with
but
these
you're
calls.
Not, well, you're not rescheduling a blown water heater.
Right.
You know, you take the ones that you know you can get away with and you go with it.
Yeah.
If all of them are emergencies, what happens? Mitch gets in a fucking truck and goes and takes the least one.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yes,
maybe.
It is.
Maybe some of the guys just run late. So
get off your ass and get the fuck out there.
This is
and shut that water heater down.
This is another perk of having multiple service techs is just as easily as one tech can run long, another tech can be running way early.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
or have a cancellation during the day.
I mean, I've had guys take 4 days to run four calls. And I've had guys run four calls by like 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Plumbing and HVAC is a lot different. Like HVAC companies know that they have to be extremely flexible.
Yeah.
And so the guys are a little more used to it than plumbers and electricians. But like, you know, you just don't know when those calls are going to come in. You don't know when bunches of calls are going to come in, and you just are just used to being flexible.
Right.
You know.
Right. So, essentially, the upcoming year is yours to do with what you want with it. You're the only one standing in your way.
Yep.
And it's your job to analyze past performance, make tough calls, make adjustments, have the tough conversations, and do what's best for you to protect the mothership and make sure that your business continues to move forward.
Yeah.
Identify what your mothership is in life, and if that's your business, then run with it, right? And a lot of people are going to say, oh, family's the mothership. You know, family's more important than business. It's true, but
yeah,
I'd rather have my family at 80% and the money to provide for my family than my family at 100% and the money that I can't even provide for.
Well, and that's a bullshit fucking excuse anyway, because
every
business is different. You and your wife both work for this business.
Yeah.
If the business goes down, we have no money to pay for the kids to eat.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a gray give and take area.
Yeah.
If one of you works on a business and one of you has a full-time job, okay, it's a little easier to say that.
Yeah.
You know,
I used to employ a guy. This was a previous job that I had probably 10 years ago. I employed a guy that would all the time, at least every other week, he was wanting to take a day off for his daughter. And it was always random, out of the blue. My daughter said she wanted to go to the zoo today, so I'm going to take the day off and go to the zoo. Like,
dude, if it's
she's
not,
not sick.
If it's not a school conference or something you got to be there for, come on.
Right.
What are you doing?
And I ended up telling him, I'm like, okay, guy, you're all the time not working because of your daughter. Very rarely do I see you work because of your daughter. Like,
yeah.
Like, I get work-life balance. It's a myth. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If a balanced scale reads zero, That means zero progress at work and zero progress in life, right? So the only, like, the way you have to handle quote-unquote work-life balance is give up life for a period of time, dive hard in at work, and make tremendous progress. And then back off at work for a period of time and dive in at life and make tremendous progress.
Yeah.
Period of time might be an hour, might be a day, a week, a month. Yeah. It's not going to be a year. You're not going to take a year off work and dive into life.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to buy her a new set of skates when you're not going to work to earn the money to buy her the skates.
Right.
You know, like, what do you mean?
Complacency breeds complacency.
Yeah.
We run into this when we go through slow times. We'll go through slow times where the guys have a day off because of weather or the call volume is slow.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it's not like call volume miraculously comes back overnight. And so the next day, call volume's kind of half there. And the guys are kind of giving their, like, half-assed effort. And this is natural. I'm not bagging on my guys. Like, this happens everywhere.
Yeah.
That yesterday we had an opportunity to be lazy, and it opens the door for us to choose to be lazy today.
Yeah.
And so you have to recognize that, and you have to compartmentalize that and say, okay, if we're off yesterday because of weather or slow times or whatever, go hard in on life yesterday so that you're ready to go hard back in on work today.
Yeah.
That's the key there. And that's where the work hard, play hard stuff comes in and everything else is you got to flip that switch one to the other. Never let the scale read zero.
Yeah.
A balanced scale reads zero. So work-life balance is bullshit. You don't want zero.
Yeah. So, it's more of a graph. Fill one up, then get into the other one so that they're equal.
Yeah.
And then get back into the other one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really what it's about.
This can be a daily cycle, right?
Yeah.
Quality lifetime at home before you walk out the door. Then leave life, you know, in the rear view and quality work time and get tons of shit done at work. And then shut work off and go quality lifetime at home when you're at home at night. And then when the kids go to bed, if you've got business work to do, close the door, lock yourself in the room, and quality work time again before you go to bed. Like you can't multitask, and you don't want to be sitting at the kitchen table trying to give attention to your kids and trying to do your books at the same time.
No.
Because that's shorting both. You're going to fuck your books up, and your kids are going to be like, yeah, I remember Daddy never paid attention to me.
Yeah.
And
just because you're there don't mean you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
Called absentee fatherism.
Being present.
Yeah.
Right?
Be present.
So
wrap us up, Mitch. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's gonna be it for today. Hopefully we can cobble back together that little technical glitch that happened. So
dude, who the fuck you think you're talking to? For everyone, just so that everyone knows, I'll be doing it.
Yeah.
I got it, dog.
All right.
No worries.
I trust you.
No worries.
So
that's the first time you said that in 3 years.
Oh shit.
Oh, so, man.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later. I do want to leave you with a couple of things. If you guys have questions for starting your own business or anything like that, there's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. You can find David at David Hilton on Facebook. You can find me at Mitch Smedley on Facebook. I actually have the blue check. I pay for it to help keep anybody from trying to spoof my account and take advantage of our listeners. You can find us there. You can email us, David@TradeWindsConsulting.com or Mitch@TradeWindsConsulting.com. And either one of those will get you to us and ask any questions you have. People are all the time messaging me and reaching out on Facebook, and they'll say, like, wow, I'm surprised I got an answer so fast or whatever. Like, we're super responsive with it. Every once in a while, there's a technical glitch. Something falls through the cracks, but 98% of the time, we respond insanely quick. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.